When the Congolese Civil War broke out in 1997, the novelist Emmanuel Dungala was teaching at the University of Brazzaville. He and his family fled to the edge of the city thinking they'd be safe. Dungala remembers the terror of hiding in a house with 40 other people. They listen to rockets hiss by them and explode a few yards away.
During this bombing, while people were praying or crying or whatever, I'm not a very religious person, so what I was doing is reading. You know, you had 6 hours of bombing, you have nothing to do, just sit there. So to keep your sanity, you have to do something. I remember one poem by Robert Lowell. Just the last stanza stick to my mind, and it keeps coming up, coming up. And I remember the poem is called Waking Early Sunday Morning. Pity the planet, all joy gone from this sweet volcanic cone. Peace to our children when they fall in small war on the hills of small war, until the end of time to police the earth, a ghost orbiting forever lost in our monotonous sublime. So that's it. So I keep it coming up to my mind, you know, pity the planet, all joy gone. After this war, I was very lucky to know a writer, African writer, called Chinua Achebe. And after the Biafra War, because he went through a civil war too, and he wrote a collection of poems called Christmas in Biafra and other poems. And one of the poems which really struck me, it's called A Refugee Mother and Child. No Madonna and child could touch that picture of a mother's tenderness for a son she soon would have to forget. The air was heavy with odors of diarrhea of unwashed children, with washed-out ribs and dried-up bottoms struggling in labored steps behind blown, empty bellies. Most mothers there had long ceased to care, but not this one. She held a ghost smile between her teeth, and in her eyes the ghost of a mother's pride as she combed the rust-colored hair left on his skull, and then, singing in her eyes, began carefully to part it. In another life, this must have been a little daily act of no consequence before his breakfast and school. Now she did it like putting flowers on a tiny grave. I exactly saw these women, and you know the kid is going to die, but yet you see this mother there trying to save her kid. I mean, this poem brings all that back to my mind. I came to this sad conclusion that any crime you can imagine, any worst thing you can imagine, a human being can do it to another human being.
Emmanuel Dungala is a novelist from the Congo. He now teaches at Bard College at Simon's Rock in Western Massachusetts.
That's so moving to me, the poem of Robert Lowell, the idea that he was sitting and reading this.
In the middle of the Civil War in the Congo.
Absolutely extraordinary. But he does say something, well, this is obviously a marvelous guy. I've never heard of him, but I'm very glad
he's
to
a lovely writer.
Make his acquaintance, and I look for his books. He does say something that to me is very, very important. He says that everything that you can imagine that's most horrible, you can be sure that human beings, some human beings have done this or will do this to other human beings. And I really feel that is the basis of being – that knowledge, that acknowledgement is the basis of being morally adult. What drives me crazy is people – perpetually expressing surprise that terrible things happen in the world. I mean, it doesn't mean we're not going to be horrified. It doesn't mean we're not going to be appalled, it doesn't mean we're not going to protest and do whatever we can to limit or undo these horrors. But we shouldn't be surprised. How can it be that the commandant at Auschwitz would come home after a day of, you know, ripping babies from their mother's arms and bashing their heads against the wall and sending people off to the crematoria, and then he would come back to his house and kiss his wife and children and sit down at the piano and play some Schubert before dinner? How is this possible? I think it's absurd to ask such a question. Of course it's possible. Who said that wicked people don't have family lives or have good taste in music? Monsters don't come with signs over their heads saying, "I'm a monster," and then they don't participate in any other human activities. I think we have to understand that it's human beings who do this, and we have to stop being surprised.
It interested me listening to that poem about a particular African child dying in its mother's arms, because one sees images, and you see a million images of a million dying African children, and yet to have a story attached to a particular child, to me anyway, makes it much more powerful than any number of those images can be, which I think goes to your point about a story is much more powerful than an image in and of itself.
A narration, yes. But the other thing that it brings to mind is that in our part of the world, when we see these images, the implicit sort of subtext of those images is this is the kind of thing that happens in a place like that. We're much more protective of ourselves and of other and of people with whom we identify. Which is to say, for instance, Europeans and North Americans, and what we show of the horrors that befall people. You remember there was a lot of discussion about what was right or what was in good taste to show of among the photographs that were taken after September 11th, 2001, here in New York at the World Trade Center. And there certainly were photographs that showed body parts and the horror of all those thousands of people who were murdered there. And the general feeling is, oh, we mustn't show those pictures. It's in bad taste, I mean, which is always a very dubious criterion, especially when offered by institutions. Always sounds very repressive to me when people talk about good taste when it's a newspaper or a television network. And the whole issue of giving offense to relatives or further pain to relatives, we mustn't do that. But we don't have a problem about showing these images if they come from Africa or Asia because we don't identify with those people. For instance, there's that appalling image which upset me enormously, which I think about all the time, of a Taliban soldier being murdered. He's naked from the waist down. His bloody pants are around his ankles. It's the most horrifying image. And I think when we look at it in the New York Times, and it's Tyler Hicks is a wonderful war photographer, I think we don't think, well, his relatives, say, in Kabul might have seen this image too. And what did they feel? So it's very much a double standard about the horror that we show.
The late Susan Sontag speaking with me in 2003. Coming up, we'll talk about staging theater in a Sarajevo war zone. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.